a Sunday school teacher asked her kindergarten class to listen to Matthew's account of Jesus' birth and then draw a picture. While the teacher circulated through the class, she noticed that one child was drawing an airplane with four figures in it. When she inquired the identity of the people, the little boy replied, "I'm drawing the flight to Egypt. And the passengers are Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus." Okay. "But who is the fourth person?" the teacher asked. "Oh, that's Pontius, the pilot." From the mouths of babes. If we take a second look at our scripture, we can find some interesting things in the story of the birth of our Lord and Savior. For instance, the town that Jesus was born in was called Bethlehem. Okay, we all knew that. But did you know what the name Bethlehem means? No? Okay, well, I'll tell you. Bethlehem means house of bread. Okay? The original reason for this name was because Bethlehem was in the midst of a really fertile region. Now, this was important because, as we know from looking at the news on the television, most of the areas over there in that region are desert, and not too much grows there. Maybe a few cacti, but that's about it. But in those desert regions, there are a few places that are very fertile, very green. They said some people have considered them some of the most beautiful places in the world. They're just so green and luscious with all the growth and everything. Imagine that in the middle of the desert. But there are some areas like that. And that's, of course, where they grow all their wheat and things for their bread, and all their produce and all that are grown in these few certain areas. But the meaning of this little town, Bethlehem, now has a new reason to be called House of Bread. Can you figure out why? Okay, I won't make you think about that too long. The reason is Jesus Christ. And why? Because if you remember, all throughout the New Testament, Jesus Christ is called what? Thank you. The bread of life. The bread of life. Now I ask you, what a more perfect place for the Christ to be born than in the house of bread. You see, Bethlehem provided food for the body for that region for years. Now, because of the birth of Christ, Bethlehem provides food for the soul, for the entire world. Isn't that neat how that works out? Tell me God isn't in control. You know, I like the way he works those things out. Now, even though the town and its name may have been fine for Jesus to be born in, the stable was another story. I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ being born in a dirty barn? You know, doesn't sound too good, but it even gets worse than that, because what we don't realize is the barns or stables in those days were not the wood frame structures that we know of around here. They were actually caves. They had some barns, but most of them were caves in the side of the hills. And these worked fine for keeping all their farming supplies, hay, feed, and those things, all dry. But they weren't so perfect for our Lord, and yet it's believed that he was born in one of these caves. Sort of a humble beginning, wouldn't you say? But then again, humbleness is what the point is about not only his birth, but his entire life. Amen? Why, kings and other important people were not even given birth announcements when he was born. You see, back in those days, when somebody was born that was considered of from royal lineage, or that was going to be a great person, maybe the son of a king who everybody knew was going to follow his father's footsteps and take over the throne, you know, when somebody like that was born, birth announcements were sent by messengers to all the other royal and well-to-do people in the region to let them know that this royal person had been born. And in Jesus' case, that didn't happen. None of the people that would normally get such announcements got an announcement. Only one small group of people got an announcement that Jesus had been born. And those people were shepherds. He sent angels to a bunch of shepherds to tell them that Jesus Christ had been born, that the Lord of Lords, King of Kings, had been born. Shepherds. Not Herod, not Caesar, or some chief priests or scribes, just some humble shepherds. You say, well, what's so wrong with shepherds? Well, they're all right. But in those days, shepherds were looked at as the lowest people on the totem pole. You see, they were out in the fields all the time. Most people probably really didn't even get to take the time to get to know them because they were always out in the field counting their sheep. They also, because they were out in the field so much, did not get to spend much time being educated. So they weren't very smart. They knew all about dealing with sheep. They also did not get to spend very much time at the temple. They didn't make it to Sunday service very often. And because of that, they were considered the lowlife. And yet, this is who God sends an angel to proclaim the message that Christ has been born. Again, a very humble, humble beginning. It kind of reminds us of another king that got a humble beginning. That king would be King David, who both Mary and Joseph were descendants of, got his start as a humble shepherd boy who was from Bethlehem. Another interesting thing there. Incidentally, even though King David made some bad mistakes along the way, we've all read the story of King David, and he made some real good boo-boos. He did bring peace to the nations and did more for the common people than any other king of his time. He was considered the king of the people, or king for the people, rather. And now we have Jesus Christ, who is the perfect king of the people. Another interesting thing in this story is that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, was so humble that he brought a gift to his own birthday party. It's true. Now, how many times have you gone and taken a gift to a baby shower and actually received a gift? Not too many times. But in this case, Jesus Christ was the one that should have been, that was being honored, that had just been born, and he brought a gift with him. Do you know what that gift is? The gift of peace. Remember what the angels proclaimed after they announced the birth of Christ to the shepherds. Glory to God on the highest, and peace to men whom his favor rests. That's right. Christ brings us internal peace. A peace that only he can give us. A peace that just comforts us, you know? Can you imagine not having that peace inside you, that peace of Jesus Christ? Can you imagine what your lives would be like if you didn't have that internal peace from Christ? Well, there are still people out there today that are looking for that eternal peace. And they're looking in all the wrong places. Do you know the ones? They read the self-help books that are out there. There's at least 200 or 300 of those. Or they take yoga or martial arts. And there's even religious movements that say that they know how you can find your own peace. Even some churches sometimes get a little confused as to where that great internal peace comes from. I read a story about a group of churches in a community out west. And they had started this campaign to get people in the community to come back to church. And so they posted signs up all around town and said, come to church and find yourself. Well, you know, if Christ is the only one that can bring us this internal peace, then maybe their signs should have read, come to church and find God and be found by God. Amen? What we have been studying today is a message that starts with the birth of Christ and is carried through the whole New Testament. The message is about God's prevenient grace for us. All that we have to do is humble ourselves. Think of Christ. If you need to know how to humble yourself, think of Christ and how he lived. And all we need to do is humble ourselves and open our hearts and minds and be thankful for what God has given us in the birth of Jesus Christ. Then we'll begin to see the distractions and confusions in our lives
be put to rest. And then we'll begin to experience that amazing peace that has humbled many men before us. And then we will realize that only our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who had such a humble beginning and lived such a humble life, could give such a gift as an amazing inner peace that can never be destroyed. Doesn't that feel good just to think about that? To know that Christ is inside us with that peace. That when things begin to get chaotic in our lives, and the world around us seems to be spinning out of control, we can skip through life and whistle a Christmas song and think of that inner peace. I hope today that while each of you are celebrating this Christmas season, you will remember the best gift of all. And that's the gift that God gave each one of us. The gift of Jesus Christ. And the gift of peace that He brings with Him. I also want you to thank God that somebody in your life shared that with you. Pointed you towards where the true peace was and how to get it. And think about the many others out there that are still looking for that. And the charge that we have from our Father God to go out and let other people know where that true inner peace is. Because they're looking. And they're looking at you. You know, when you're walking through the Walmart and other people are like, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, and here's these good old Christians from Bethel. Merry Christmas, man. Christmas. I'm so happy. You know, and they're looking at what is with these people from Bethel Church. They got these big dopey smiles on their face and they just seem to be happy all the time. We need to tell them. We need to share that with them. You know, I was thinking about this. Don't you think the world would be a much better place if everybody knew and experienced the peace of Christ? Maybe we wouldn't have that impending war. Be thankful for the peace of Christ and the gift that God gave us there. And be thankful for those that shared it with you. Will you pray with me?